South Africa's elder statesman Nelson Mandela has added his voice to the chorus of international condemnation over the widespread violence and political intimidation in neighbouring Zimbabwe. Mandela on Wednesday said the country was suffering from a tragic failure of leadership as President Robert Mugabe prepared to go ahead with a runoff presidential poll on Friday. South African leaders holding an emergency summit in Swaziland, meanwhile, appealed for the vote to be called off since they said current conditions cannot guarantee a fair or free vote. Earlier this week, opposition leader Morgan Tsvangirai withdrew from the ballot in an effort to stop the violence and called for international help to end the current crisis. Tsvangirai's Movement for Democratic Change, or MDC, says over 80 of its supporters have been killed and 200,000 more forced from their homes by militias loyal to the ruling ZANU-PF party. The government, meanwhile, blames the MDC for the violence. Church leaders in the region have also spoken out strongly this week against the planned election, calling it a sham and accusing the ruling ZANU-PF party of barbaric atrocities. In a statement, the Southern African Catholic Bishops' Conference said the politically motivated violence, intimidation and torture have made a just and fair runoff election virtually impossible.
There's an enormous amount of suffering going on. So our first concern is to express our solidarity with the church and with the people of Zimbabwe.
Cardinal Wilfred Napier is Archbishop of Durban and spokesperson for the Southern African Catholic Bishops Conference.
The second intention of the statement is to call on SADC in particular and the international community in general to start taking action before there is a wholesale humanitarian crisis in Zimbabwe, which is going to envelop the whole of Southern Africa.
Now, this violence has been going on for some time. There are those who say the church in South Africa should have spoken up months ago. What's your response to that?
We do believe that there should have been a much more louder condemnation of what was being done, particularly by ZANU-PF, and I think even worse still, by the agents of the state who should be protecting people, not trying to keep a particular party in power. And yes, we believe that they should have been taking action a long time ago.
You're calling this election runoff a sham. You're talking about atrocities and the barbaric behaviour of the ruling party. Have you had reactions from the political leadership there at all to this?
I don't think they would even give us an answer because it's been said before. And probably if they were to answer, they would give us the same answer they're giving to the statement from the United Nations, where they simply say this isn't a reflection of what's truly happening. But the evidence that we have been able to hear for ourselves is that of those who have been injured and killed during this the unrest there, there are very, very few, if any, ZANU-PF members that are involved, that have been the victims, should I say. So for us, it's quite clear that the government is going to deny, first of all, that the situation is as bad as we're saying it is, and secondly, that they have anything to do with it. But they're certainly not doing anything to stop it from happening.
You say these atrocities and the barbarism is being documented and that justice awaits. Can you tell us anything more about what kind of documentation is going on to eventually try and help victims?
One of the first things that we did after the elections and we got wind that there was this kind of intimidation, it was started off as intimidation and then there was violence against those who either had voted for the MDC or who had been perceived to have favored the MDC as electoral officers and so on, and where MDC had beaten ZANU-PF in traditional ZANU-PF areas. They became the victims then. Many of those people came down to South Africa, to Botswana, and to other countries to seek refuge. And it was from them, whenever we got any information that they had been involved, that they had been the victims of such violence, we asked them to write out affidavits. So we've done something down here, and we know that there are other parties in Zimbabwe who are doing the same. Notably, the Catholic Church's Justice and Peace Commission.
The South African political leaders there, and indeed most African leaders, have been very, very slow and unwilling to speak and to act to try and save the situation there in Zimbabwe, haven't they? What is your view on this?
Well, it's one of these situations where were they afraid that if they spoke out too forcefully, they would be had fingers pointed at them for not observing, respecting human rights as well. But strangely, in the last few days, especially since the United Nations statement, many, many more African leaders, Southern African leaders, seem to be coming out and saying that this is intolerable, it cannot be allowed to continue happening. That for us is a sign that at least now Morgan Tsvangirai's withdrawal from the runoff election seems to have triggered a reaction that has woken up some of the leaders to the reality that they cannot continue pretending that everything is okay when it's so terribly wrong.
Do you see then that Morgan Tsvangirai's move was a very positive one, the right thing to do in this desperate circumstance?
You know, he probably was more aware than we are of what extent his own followers and other innocent people were being victimized, and I think in conscience couldn't go ahead and pretend as if the election is actually going to be free and fair, and that the conditions for people to freely and conscientiously express their wishes by putting voting for the man they wanted to represent them or to lead them. I think he had to do it. It was commendable that he would do that.
He has called for a military force to be sent in to try and keep the peace there, almost a declaration of civil war. What is your reaction to that?
Well, I think that the way things are going, we have a virtual civil war already going on, except that it's a civil war that's been conducted by one side and there's hardly any reaction. Certainly there doesn't seem to be any violent or armed reaction from the other side, even though there are people like the spokespeople for ZANU-PF or for the Zimbabwean government who are trying to make out as if the MDC is responsible for the greater part of the violence. I'd be very surprised if there aren't isolated instances where ZANU-PF supporters have been attacked or have been subjected to a reaction from the other side. But by far the weight of evidence is that it's the ZANU-PF and the organs of state that are perpetrating the violence.
We heard Pope Benedict just a little while ago at the United Nations talking about the crucial responsibility of the international community to protect people who are not being protected by their own governments, and this seems to be a clear example of that. Do you think these words, do you think there is anything else that the Church in any way can do to try and persuade the international community to act in this direction?
Philip, I am not sure that we can do much more than and keep on calling and maybe contacting people that we believe can do something, such as the embassies of the various countries that have an interest and have an influence over that. And I'm sure within the next few days that's what our office in Pretoria will be trying to do. We have been engaging in a campaign of prayer. We're having prayers at almost all our masses for a peaceful outcome to the solution or restoration of peace, and a peaceful and just outcome to whatever election process is going to take over when this one has been declared to be what it is, a sham. And so the main thing I would ask of people over, all the world over, is that we continue praying earnestly for a change of heart on the part of Mugabe as the leader who has it in his hands actually to bring about a change there. And then all the others who have been carrying out these atrocities, that they would also have a change of heart and start respecting their brothers and sisters, whom after now they've been showing complete contempt for.
We do believe very much that the way in which God acts in the world, the way in which providence and the spirit moves is how history is created. So we believe in the power of prayer to transform people. We would say even many of the perpetrators of violence are themselves victims who need transforming, and that the power of prayer is part of how such people can be transformed.
John Stewart is director of a Zimbabwean human rights NGO and part of an umbrella organization of aid and development networks, which has also issued a statement urging international intervention to protect the people of Zimbabwe.
We start from the point of view that the normal protection that should be accorded by policing and security services within Zimbabwe is entirely absent, because those services are being used to support and to promote the militia and state security attacks on ordinary people, particularly members of opposition parties or suspected non-supporters of ZANU-PF. What exists within Zimbabwe in terms of civil society and international diplomatic presence is entirely inadequate to replace that protection. But what we're really talking about is the removing of the capacity for the violation of people's rights, for the violence to be delivered, especially by the militia-type structures, for that to be removed. And so when we talk about an intervention capacity, we're talking about a capacity coming into the country in a way portraying itself as not threatening existing institutions, but carrying out the role of disarmament, demobilization, disbanding of militia units, assisting of other army units to return to the discipline of barracks and the rule of the Defense Act of Zimbabwe. So we do see the need for a peacemaking intervention to begin with, in the context, and we would emphasize this, in the context of creating or moving towards creating adequate security conditions for a free and fair election. Because our perspective is entirely that a process needs to take place which enables a choice by the people, a proper electoral process, so that the people can make a choice of the leadership of the country without constraint and without coercion. And so the security aspect is what we are talking about, that statement is talking about. Clearly there are other issues, such as the restoration of an independent judiciary, the creation of an independent media, the non-partisan humanitarian support for the people's survival. But a key component, we think, needs to be the process of removing the threats to people's physical security that are constituted by the armed and violent militia groups and their military and police support. We called on churches worldwide, with the help of our partner organizations, to organize this day of prayer for peace and justice in Zimbabwe. And Mr. Mugabe himself comes from a Catholic Church background, was educated by Jesuits and involved in Catholic youth organizations when he was younger. So, and he recently made a statement that God brought him to power and only God can remove him from power. And of course, we do believe very much that the power of prayer is part of how such people can be transformed.
John Stewart there, director of a Zimbabwean human rights NGO. And earlier you heard Cardinal Wilfrid Napier, Archbishop of Durban and spokesman for the Southern African Catholic Bishops' Conference.